It never ceases to amaze me how God moves on people, and suddenly you're not quite like Philip, but suddenly you're in a different place with a different experience and a different ministry, really, a different task that the Lord has called us to. I say that because I want to start by thanking you. I first came into contact with Surrey Chapel through Chris Murphy, my brother. And he introduced me to Philip, who then introduced me to Tom, and then the other elders, and then they let me loose on you. And so we came, and we were so warmly welcomed. So warmly welcomed that I'm glad for this opportunity to thank you, because it means a huge amount when you're going from a one place to a new place. It's not as easy, even though we've done it a few times. And the welcome that you gave to us is really, really appreciated. And we thank you. The second thing I want to do is to tell you a story. Now, I hope you'll keep with me on this and you'll see that there is a point to it. Okay? It does have a point. There was, if you've heard it before, join in any rate. There was this Texas millionaire who had a ranch in Texas, of course. And he used to give a dinner for the community. And so they would gather around on this particular time and have their dinner and have a lovely time together. On this particular occasion, he said to them, after they'd eaten, he said, I want to show you something. So he gathered them all around the swimming pool that he had at his house. And he said, I want to issue a challenge to you. If I want one of you, or however many, to swim the length of the pool, and if you do that, you can claim a prize. This guy was rich, $1 million, or half of my estate, or the hand of my beautiful daughter in marriage. So they murmured amongst themselves. And then they heard the clanking of metal. And a sluice gate was opened, and out came a shark. Now, contrary to the program that's just been on about sharks, this particular shark was hungry. I mean, he was famished. And anything that moved, he'd eat. So the rich rancher said, okay, are you ready? Go. Nobody moved. Well, to cut a long story short, because, you know, we haven't got a lot of time, this happened time and time again. And then at one evening, after supper, gathering round the pool, the shark was released and was swimming around. Suddenly, someone was in the water. There was a splash. And this person was swimming, well, literally for his life. And he was going as fast as he could to swim the length of the pool. The shark was in hot pursuit and was gaining, getting closer and closer and closer. But the man was going faster and faster and got to the end and jumped out of the pool just as the shark closed its mouth and missed him. So everybody clapped. And the rich rancher said, "Wow, that is amazing. And I will keep to my word. You can either claim $1 million, half of my estate, or the hand of my daughter in marriage. Which would you like?" "None of them," said the man. "Are you sure?" said the rich man. I said, "Yes." "Well, what is it that I can give you?" He said, "I like the name of the person who pushed me in." Now, it does have a... I could say the same. But I mean, there is a point to it, and you will see, I hope, what it is. Acts chapter 8 and Philip the evangelist, not the apostle. Actually, I want us to go back just for a minute where we are introduced to this man, because I think it's important. If we look at Acts chapter 6, just a few verses from Acts chapter 6. Just 1 to 5. 1 to 8. "In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, 'It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word.' This proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them." Who prayed and laid their hands on him. So here is Philip, the evangelist, who was not yet that evangelist, but was starting out on the road. What sort of a man was he? Well, it says that they are to choose people who are known to be full of the Spirit. So here was a man, Philip, who was full of the Spirit. And it meant that every day for Philip was an adventure with Jesus. He was full of the Spirit. The Spirit was overwhelming. It was so part of him that every day... I think it's important that we understand this, because it's his heart. When I was given this passage, immediately my attention was drawn to, what is the heart of this man? What has happened to him since Jesus became his Saviour and he received the Spirit? What happened to his heart? And we then go on to Acts chapter 8. And as Philip has read it to us, despite the persecution, they continued to proclaim the Christ. I have no idea which words Philip knew of the words of Jesus. We don't know. I mean, this is soon, it's not long after his death. But I suspect that some of the words were going around. There's a great tradition, an oral tradition. And maybe Philip and the others perhaps knew God's words, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And Jesus' words in John 14, "He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Philip was so confident in the love of God. He knew that God loved him. Now, we all face difficulties and trials, disappointments, challenges, things that don't always go right. And I think that the heart of Philip, the Holy Spirit in his heart, was helping him to understand that when these difficulties come, when these challenges arise, there is a way through, because God is always at his work. And Jesus is too. I'm going to return to that in a minute. But we all face difficulties and trials of all sorts. And maybe if we were to see them in the light of eternal life that God has given to us, maybe that would help us to see our way through. The secret for Philip, I think, was his overwhelming love for Jesus and believing that he has been given eternal life. And he determined to be salt and light. He determined to serve Jesus. So we come to verses 26 to 40, the passage that Philip read to us. And Philip the evangelist has a divine appointment. The Ethiopian eunuch, an important official. I don't know how you view divine appointments. I don't know what you understand by that phrase. I can give you an example. I've been sort of sold on this divine appointment principle ever since I was first converted. I believe it wholeheartedly, because God is always at his work. Jesus says, "My Father is always at his work, and I too am working." And I believe a part of the work of God is to see people saved and added to his church. That's my sort of fundamental belief. And I believe that was the heart of Philip. So just to give you an example, and this example, although I'm not speaking about Christians Against Poverty, I can't help but mention it, because it's, someone said to me the other day, if they cut you in half, it's like a stick of rock, they'd find Christians Against Poverty right through you. Well, that may be. I hope they'd find Jesus. But at any rate, so one of the things that I talk about when I'm talking about people who are having a problem with, particularly with debt, is that they become imprisoned. It becomes a prison for them. And I was speaking about this one day, not very long ago, and as I came out of this meeting, the Lord whispered in my ear, "You know, there are real prisoners as well as the prisoners of debt." That was it. And so I thought, that's true. So I then made overtures to Wayland Prison. I thought, then perhaps I can take this message of hope into the prison. Well, it wasn't as easy as that. And I eventually did get in. I mean, it's so difficult to get in. And out, but to get in, so I go through all this security and stuff. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I eventually got in, and to my amazement, they were so up for this that they organised some prisoners that I could see eight at a time. So I was there sort of Thursday afternoons every other week. I was seeing eight prisoners at a time, and closely monitored. And there's only a limited amount you could say, and I'm getting a bit frustrated by this, so I said to the Lord, "Lord, it must be a way that I can share you." So the next time I went in, same eight, not the same, but another eight prisoners, and they all come in one after another, and I sort of give them advice. as to what they can do. At any rate, I saw one, and he went out, and I was left with one in the room, and nobody else. The prison warder had gone out. And so I spoke to this guy, and he said, thank you, thank you. And I give him a letter they can send, and the general help. And I've got things laid out on my desk, on the desk. So I give him that. He said, oh, what's that? I said, well, that's a summary of the life of Jesus. Oh, he said, why is that there? So I said, well, I'm a Christian, and it's very important for me that people find Jesus as well as the way out of debt. It's really, really important that. So, you know, I was sort of on the roll here. But there was no, nobody there. You're not supposed to do this. But at any rate, I'm doing it. So he said, oh, can I have it? And I said, yes, you can. And he said, I've been waiting for this. And it then clicked that this was what it was all about. That this was my appointment, my divine appointment that God had set up, that I would meet this man, that I would be able to share the gospel with him, albeit briefly, and pray with him. That was my moment. Now, my reading of scripture is when I was in college in Cambridge, we examined this book in some detail, not always to the best end, I have to say, but while I was there, I found one verse that sort of leapt. You know how verses leap out at you? Well, this one leapt out at me. However long ago it was that we were there, in the 70s, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. And this, I think, is also the heart of Philip. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Ambassadors for Christ. Now, don't you find that exciting? I find that a tremendously exciting verse, that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was making his appeal through us, through you and me. God is making his appeal. It is, I believe, part of the Father's work that is going on all the time. It goes on day after day after day, reaching out, reaching out, reaching out to save the lost, to see people without hope given hope, to see people who don't know what life is all about suddenly have a reason for living. People who then see that death is not the final obstacle that it might seem. But there is much more. Eternal life. For us all to experience. I think this, we are given, I mean, as I get older, I feel that we are given more and more opportunities. Because the day is ever drawing near when Jesus will return. We don't know when it is, but it's drawing nearer. And the nearer it comes, the more there is the excitement of sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus, of seeing people's lives changed, of seeing the reconciliation to God taking place right in front of you. I mean, there can't be anything that's more exciting or thrilling than that. So, what does Philip do? Well, the first thing he does, he obeys the Spirit. The Holy Spirit whispers to him that he's to go on this road and meet with this man. So Naomi and Wendy are on a CAP visit to a client. And it proves to be abortive. She's not very well and she hasn't got up. And so they go and have a cup of coffee, hoping she will get up, but she doesn't. And so they have to make another arrangement over the phone. And so they come away. And on the way back, a divine appointment takes place. They see a man lying in the gutter. He's fallen over. He's an elderly man named John. We're always falling about. I don't know. It must be our name. But so they stop the car and they go over to see if they can help. And here is John. And they lift him up and they put him in the car with his shopping. And they take him home and they minister to him as best they can. And they show him that God loves him. A divine appointment has taken place. And we are now visiting John and seeing him. And where that will lead to, I don't know. None of these things happen by accident. This has happened. Naomi and Wendy were in that place at that time to minister to this man, God making his appeal through them. My father is always at his work and I too am working. I think it's a very important principle. We have been, I said I wouldn't talk about Christians against poverty and Philip is going to shoot me afterwards. But at any rate, I'm going to. So we've been trying to get into the job centre. We've been trying to make to have a position in the job centre to help those people who are unemployed and who've got some debt, and we can help them. So I go into the job centre and talk to this guy, and he says, yes, he wasn't very interested. In fact, he seemed very cold about the whole thing. However enthusiastic I was, he seemed to become less enthusiastic, and so he wanted to see me go. So I left him my card and I went. But I wasn't happy. So 2 days later, I get a phone call from the job centre manager saying, I've got your card. I think you should come in. And so on Wednesday, we're going in to the job centre and we're going to have a table there and we're going to be able to talk to people who are struggling with debt. So there's been a great turnaround. A divine appointment is taking place next Wednesday. I mean, I'm excited by these things that happen. I mean, would it not be your prayer, more Lord? Let's have more. Let's have more opportunities that we can share the amazing news that we have, that we carry with us. Amazing. I had a phone call the other. Sorry, I keep. No, I'm not. I had a phone call the other day. It was from a funeral director. And they said, would you take this funeral? Now, that sometimes happens to me. I'm up for that. Because, again, it's another opportunity to share the good news with people who haven't got a clue about it. And so, yes, I said, yes, I would do it. And so I went to see the family last Friday in the evening and chatted to them and talked to them about why, about eternal life, and why Jesus is so important. And they were sort of a bit open-mouthed. But I will have this appointment on Wednesday. It's going to be a busy day Wednesday. And I'll have to put on all my clobber and my, my clerical outfit and stuff. And I don't care about that. I don't care anything about that. I care that I can go and take this funeral and proclaim the gospel. I can tell people about Jesus and eternal life that there is in the context of this funeral. It's a divine appointment. God will be with me as we proclaim this message. The eunuch, just getting back to the passage, is reading scripture, Isaiah 53. Which is talking, and he, I mean, What a lead-in. Wouldn't you like that as a lead-in? He says, the eunuch says, tell me, please, as Philip rushes up to the chariot. Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And it is right here in the Old Testament. Here is Jesus on every page. Here, wherever you turn in this book, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. And so, Philip can talk about Jesus, the joy of finding Jesus. And he explains that passage. And he'll talk to him about all having sinned. That everyone has sinned, at being angry or critical or ignoring God or being cruel or hurting people we love, etc., etc., etc. We all need Jesus. And he would explain to this Ethiopian eunuch, he would explain to him that Jesus, this one that the prophet is talking about, has died in our place. Mr. Ethiopian eunuch, Jesus died for you, that you might have life and have it to at the full, have it in abundance. He died so that you might know that you are saved, that your life is now worth something, that you will live forever. You have eternal life as you put your trust in this one. And he must have done that. He must have done that because he's so full of Jesus now, so grateful that his prayer, who is this man, who is this prophet talking about, has been answered. So he says, well, what's to stop us stopping here and being baptized? What's stopping us for me to be baptized? And so they leap the chariot stops and they go down into the water, and Philip baptizes this Ethiopian eunuch. And so the word of God now is very much at home with this man as he goes back to Ethiopia in joy at finding the Savior of the world. And who knows? I mean, it is said that was the start of the gospel coming to Ethiopia, to a whole country. Well, one man was saved. Everything falls into place. He received Christ as his personal saviour. You know, there are opportunities for us all, and they are many. I don't believe that God is holding back. I don't see that. I think he is always at his work. I think that's what Jesus was sharing with his disciples. My Father is at his work. He's working. And he's doing it right now. He's doing it right now here. He's doing it right now here in all of us who are sitting here and hearing his word. This is what he's saying. And as we go out to live this week, so the appointments, the opportunities that he has for you, for each one of us here that he loves, he knows by name, he knows every hair on your head, he knows you so well, his love for you is overwhelming. It's so much sometimes you can't take it all in. For you, he has people that you will meet, and it won't be by accident, it will be by God's design. And you will have the opportunity, and you will have the opportunity to share the good news, to share about Jesus, to share the amazing life that he's given you and me. The amazing way that he's transformed us. The handle for it is divine appointments, but however you want to, whatever phrase you want to use during this week. I mean, I don't know. When I get up in the morning, I have a ritual. I think I shared this somewhere. It might have been on Wednesday. Did I do it on Wednesday? Oh, crumbs. Anybody there on Wednesday, you've heard this before. But most of you haven't. So when I get up, I have a ritual. I mean, it's one of the older people do this, you know. You sort of have a ritual, and if it goes out of your throne. So I have this ritual, and during my shaving, I'm looking in a mirror. Otherwise, I'll miss. So I'm looking in a mirror, and I say to myself, I'm a son of God. I remind myself of who I am. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And I just rest in that for just a few moments, knowing how much God loves me. You know, it's quite a thing. And then I'll say, Father, I'm here for you this day. If there's someone you want me to talk to, bring it on. If there's someone you want me to meet, something, some word you want me to say, something, I'm here. I'm here for you. I'm your servant. I want to be part of your work, and so on. I just spend those few moments reminding myself as to who I am and what God has called me to be an ambassador. And I'm so glad that he has. And I pray for myself that as long as I have breath, that I will continue to do that. Wherever it takes me, into whatever strange places. Did Philip think that on that day he'd be going down the desert road meeting an Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot? I mean, it seems absolutely impossible. But he did. So, my message for you is to look for those divine appointments. Expect them. Expect God to do things through you. The opportunities for us all are many. And my prayer is that we will take advantage of each opportunity that comes to see the gospel spread, to see people saved and added, to see the... I have a dream that wherever church I'm in, that it gets to a place where it's bursting at the doors, that there isn't room enough. You can't pack enough people into all the rooms to hear the glorious gospel. And it can happen. It can happen through you and me, as it has happened before. We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Be reconciled to God. Amen.